Well, you've asked for it. And because you have asked for it, I'm going to bring it to you today. And that is, Perry, teach us about the mystery of numbers in the Bible. Not the book of Numbers, but the numbers that you see around me on the screen. Why does God use numbers? What do they mean? What was the original intent? This is going to be a great teaching. Let's get started right now. I want to read Daniel chapter 8 and verse 13 and point out something very interesting. Daniel said this, "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall be the vision concerning the city, concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot?" And again, that's Daniel 8, verse 13. Now, the book of Daniel is one of those books, and along with the book of Revelation, of course, that has numerous numbers referred to throughout the visions or the dreams or the prophecies. And all of them have a specific prophetic meaning. Now, I'm just going to give you several so you can see where we're going with this. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 14 mentions 2,300 days. And in the verse, it says, this is the time it will take for the sanctuary to be cleansed. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, there is 1,290 days. And that is when the sacrifice is taken away from the temple and the abomination is set up. Now that one you can actually read about in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, when the Antichrist invades Jerusalem and they make the image of the beast. That's the abomination that makes Jerusalem desolate. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Blessed are those that come to the 1,335 days, 1,335. And that, again, we don't have time to develop that in particular, but that is when the Lord returns back and they are rebuilding the sanctuary in the city of Jerusalem or the temple. All of that alludes to that time frame. Now, here's some other time frames in the book of Daniel. In Daniel 9:27 is the prophecy about the 70 weeks or the 490 years. And in the text, it's divided into three parts of a total of 49 years, then adding it with the other 483 years and a last period of 7 years. Daniel chapter 7:25 talks about time, times, and dividing of time. Time is the Hebrew word for a year. Times is double a year, which is 2 years. And dividing of time is to cut the time in half or cut the year in half. And that it alludes to 3.5 years. That phrase, time, times, and dividing of times, is also found in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 7. It shall be for a time, times, and half a time. So that again is 3.5 years. Now, why is that significant? Because when we turn to the book of Revelation, which is written hundreds of years after the book of Daniel, the Apostle John begins to use the same phraseology in the book of Revelation in his vision that John used in the book of Daniel. In Revelation chapter 12, I think it's verse 14, somewhere in there, it talks about there is a time, times, and time, and a half a time. And that's a year, 2 years, and half a year, or 42 months. So in the Revelation, 1,260 days is mentioned. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the time, times, and dividing of time. Then it also does mention one reference, 42 months. So these are all the same thing, but different terms are used to describe that time period of the 3.5 years. So if you go back to Daniel, because we've been reading to you verses from the book of Daniel that have certain number of days or days representing years, etc. And in the book of Daniel, where I read to you earlier that one saint said to another saint, in the margin of some Bibles, it is noted that there is a word palmoni, which means the numberer of secrets or the wonderful numberer. So it appears that when Daniel is talking about a saint talking to a saint, we think of a Christian and a Christian. There were no, quote, Christians in the Old Testament. There were people in covenant with God, predominantly Israelites, but they are called saints in the Old Testament. In other words, the righteous Israelites who had covenant with God were called saints in the Old Testament. So when you look at this, it actually is saying, I heard one saint speaking to a certain saint, speaking to a palmoni, which is an angel of numbers. an angel over biblical numbers, an angel that watches. Let's say if God predicts something in his word that's going to last for 42 months, this particular angel, and the name again is Palmoni, will watch the first day of that and see to it that it is fulfilled at that very time frame when it's supposed to happen. So I think that's an interesting point to be made here. So when someone says, well, that's odd that there's an angel of numbers. Well, if you read the Bible, you'll discover that there is an angel that assists John when the seven seals are being opened. You discover that there's an angel at a golden altar in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3 offering incense up before God. There is an angel in Revelation chapter 9 over the bottomless pit, an angel that actually has the key to the Abusos, which is a bottomless pit located somewhere underneath the earth that has a seal on it now that will be opened in the future. There's an angel over the sun. There's an angel over fire. And so there has to be something connected to numbers. There are too many numbers in the Bible. So I want to show you something that in the beginning of time, at the beginning of creation, God did not have the days numbered, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They were numbered. Each day of the week was given a particular number, and then it recycled the next week, and it recycled again the next week. For example, you have this is creation now in Genesis 1. The first day God is separating light from darkness. The second day God has separated the waters above from the waters below the firmament. The third day God has separated the water from the dry land. He creates grass, herbs, and trees. The fourth day God creates the great lights in the heaven. They reappear, the sun, the moon, the stars. Day five, God created the fish and the living creatures in the sea. Day six, God creates the beasts of the field, and that's when he creates man on the sixth day. Then the seventh day, God rested from his work, meaning there was nothing else to do, so he just lays back, and that's where we come up with what's called the Sabbath day. All right, now, in the Bible, there's something called counting the Omer, okay? And so when you count the Omer, you have to count so many days from Passover to count to when Pentecost comes. So there's a counting. So God has counting accountability, I guess you could say, as it relates to months and days in Scripture. Now, look how they used to count the months. The months were based upon what we call the full lunar calendar of the moon. The Gentile nations have traditionally been on solar cycles, solar 365.25 days making a year. At least it's been that way for several hundred years. But in the earlier days, these cycles were 360 days average, and there were 30 days for each month. Okay, so 360 days, which is 30 days for each month, approximately. That's way back in the beginning. All right, now here is some of the examples that you find related to what we call the counting of the months. First of all, you have the first of the month through the 12th of the month. All right, and on the lunar calendar, that's from a new moon to a half moon, and it goes from a half to a full within about 29 and a half days. So the months were actually, the months like January, February, March, April, May, June was Juno. I don't want to get to all the gods of the Romans, but the months were actually named by the Romans, but the Jews continued to number the months. That's very important you understand that. So the Jews never do get into I'm talking about in the earlier days, what we call the biblical time. They never got into numbering things by the Romans calendar, because the Roman calendar was based on the gods of Rome and Greece, and that the Jews rejected anything with idolatry. So here's what they would do. They would then call the months by the actual count on the first month, on the second month, on the seventh month. And you always see that in the counting of the months in the Torah. First month, fourth month. And they knew what month it was. They gave it a name, but they gave it a Hebrew name. The month of Nisan, the month of Tishrei, the month of Abib, the month of, you had all these different names, but they were named in Hebrew. They were not in the New Testament. They never went back into trying to name it by the Roman calendar, at least until Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD, and that changed everything as far as the Jews were concerned. Now, a little bit more on this particular subject that is very, very important. I want to talk to you about how God revealed the flood count, all right? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. And during Noah's flood, it says, in the second month, the seventh day of the month, were the fountains of the deep open. I want to show you how these numbers are used. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4, the ark rested on the seventh month of the 17th day of the month. Genesis 8 and 5, the mountains were seen in the 10th month on the first day of the month. Genesis 8, 13, the waters dried up the first month, the first day of the month. And the flood count back then, again, was 360 days, making a year. And that changed somewhere in the 7th century B.C. That's a whole calendar situation. And the Jewish calendar is different from what we call today the Gregorian calendar. That's a whole nother teaching that we won't get into today. Now, not only did, in the flood story, did they give you the day and the month when these major events happened, but if you come to what's called the festival count, all the seven festivals of Israel were based on great events that happened to Israel in the wilderness all the way into the promised land. It's very important you understand this. So they weren't random things that God said, do this on this day. Passover was a celebration reminding them of coming out of Egyptian bondage on the first month, the 14th day. It was celebrated always, whatever the first month of spring was, the 14th day, they knew on that day you celebrate the Passover. Unleavened bread actually begins the following day, but it lasts for a total of 7 days. And the Sabbath, you start counting the Sabbath after Passover. You have first fruits, which would be, it's almost like the third day. You have Passover, then you have unleavened bread, and you come into first fruits. And that is, of course, when Jesus showed himself alive to his disciples. Pentecost, you count 50 days. Notice this, it's numbers and it's counting. I'll give you the meaning of numbers in a minute. After the Sabbath of the Passover, trumpets is the seventh month, and it begins with the appearance of the silver sliver of the new moon. Atonement, when you have trumpets, you go 10 days later, 7th month, 10th day is atonement. 5 days later, 7th month, 15th day is tabernacle. So please notice the counting again. Months are counted by numbers and days are counted by numbers. And all those festivals, as I've taught you, centered around the rain and the harvest cycles in ancient Israel. Now, there's a system of dividing the day up. Now, this is really important that you catch this. That the Jews, a long time ago, would divide the day up, and they would divide it up by, the Bible says at creation, the evening and the morning were the first day, okay? So, you know, you and I know that there's normally 24 hours in a day, and that they divided up, the Jews did, from 6 at sunrise till 6 at sunset, and then from sunset to sunrise. So this is why Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? There were 12 hours in a work day from 6 to 6. They worked 12. You know, most of you work 8. They worked because they were agrarian. They had to work in the morning and all through the evening. I'm not saying they worked nonstop. I'm sure they took breaks like all of us do. But anyway, 24 hours in an actual day. And then there's 12 hours in a working day with Jews. And that's why Jesus said, oh, they're not 12 hours in a day. Now, here's what they did at night, though. They divided up into night watches. Now, they didn't have watches back then. You know, they had a watch as far as a time frame in which they would keep up with the city on the city wall to invading armies and things of that nature. The first watch, Jesus talked about the Son of Man may come during different watches. Okay, I don't know if you know that or not, but he mentions that. But the first watch at night in the Roman period, Jesus' day, was 6 to 9 at night. Now, all of these are 3 hours. The second watch was from 9 to 12. The third watch was from 2 to 3 in the morning. And the fourth watch began at 3 in the morning and lasted till sunrise about 6 o'clock. And here's what it says. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came unto them walking upon the sea. Jesus would pray from 3 till 6 in the morning, and that was the peak fishing period. As the sun comes up, the fishermen come in and clean their nets. And to show you how these watches, time frames were important in that time, blessed are those servants whom when the Lord, when he cometh, he shall find them watching. Verily I say to you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet and to come forth and serve them. And then it says that whenever he comes, it could be the second watch, third watch, just be watching. So watch and pray because you do not know what watch or what time frame the Lord is going to come in. So 3 to 6 in the morning, Christ is praying. The rabbis teach you have an open heaven at 3 to 6 in the morning. And I won't get into our, we have a great teaching on 3 o'clock in the morning. Why you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can go online and order that. It's fabulous teaching. And it's some things I learned while I was in Jerusalem. And I think you'll find it interesting. So we're going to go right now very quickly through the meaning of Bible numbers. We're not going to tell you how many times that number is found. Because if you're like me and you, I'm not great with numbers anyway. I have a part of my brain that doesn't work with math. I just never could do math. I could do other things, but not math, you know. So here we go. The number one represents oneness. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And we may throw a verse in there to help you to apply that particular number. Number two means a witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. Number three is unity. You have body, soul, spirit, faith, hope, love, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Three is always represented unity. There are numerous threes throughout the Bible. Four is earthly, four rivers in Eden, four directions on a compass, four gospels about Jesus Christ. Five is the number of grace. There were five smooth stones in the brook that David used. He had grace to defeat the giants. There's a fivefold ministry calling in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. So five is grace. Six is always the number of man. Man was created on the sixth day. The number of the beast is 666. During Babylon, they played six different instruments. And so six is connected with man or mankind. Seven is completion. You have the Sabbath day, sabbatical cycles, the Jubilee cycles, seven trumpet judgments, seven churches. I mean, seven is the most common number in the Bible, and it represents a completion of some kind. Eight is a new beginning. There were eight souls in the ark that recreated the earth again. A child was circumcised on the 8th day. There were 8 covenants, 8 resurrections in the Bible. So 8 is always a number of new beginning. 9 is a number connected with faith. There's 9 fruits of the Spirit, 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's 9 beatitudes that are mentioned in the Gospels that Jesus taught. 10 represents divine order. 10th is the tithe. The word tithe means the 10th of what you give back to God. There are 10 commandments. There were 10 plagues. There were 10 spies that doubted. So 10, when you see 10 mentioned, it represents some type of order, especially some type of order or commandment from God. Number 12 is God's government and rule. 12 disciples, 12 sons of Jacob, 12 foundations to the city, New Jerusalem. 30 represents actually God's calling, because Jesus was 30 years of old and began his ministry. According to the book of Numbers, the priests were to be 30 years of age when they entered the priesthood. So 30 is a very significant number. Now, another significant number is 40. 40 is the number of testing, 40 days of rain on the earth, 40 years in the wilderness, 40 days of temptation with Jesus. Saul ruled 40 years. David ruled 40 years. Solomon ruled 40 years. And each individual king had their own test that they had to deal with during that 40-year period of time. Now, among the Jewish belief, the number 8 is important, because that's when a male child is circumcised, showing they believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Genesis 17:11-12. The number 13 in Judaism is when a child becomes an adult. It's a bar mitzvah for a boy, a bat mitzvah for a girl, and that's when they take the responsibility of their own decisions upon themselves, and they have big celebrations around in Jewish communities, devout Jewish communities during that time. The number 20 is the age of military service. You had to be 20 years of age to enter the military in Israel. The number 30, and this, again, we're talking about from a Jewish perspective, the biblical Jewish perspective, the number 30 is the age of entering the priesthood. That's Numbers 4:3-37. The number 50 is the age of maturity. Number 4 in verse 30, and the number 70 is, believe it or not, the age of wisdom. So Exodus 20 verse 1, so you're not really totally wise till you get to be 70 years of age. You have wisdom throughout your life, but now you are the elder of wisdom when you get to be 70. So don't despise 70, anybody. So the reason God uses numbers, God is a master mathematician. And all these numbers have specific meanings. And here's the thing that's interesting. If you study the number 7, it is completion or the finishing of something throughout the Bible. If you look at the number 6, it is man and mankind's number throughout the Bible. So what happens at times is in the Jewish religion, they take the alphabet. And actually among the Greeks, not the Greek religion, but the Greek language, but in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language, the alphabet has a number of value, and both values are different. And that's why in Revelation chapter 13, He says, count the number of the beast, for its number of man is number 666. Now, the reason I'm sharing that with you is I wanted to set this teaching up first before we go into a very deep teaching next week. Because I want to touch on something that I have been asked hundreds of questions about. I don't know that I've ever done a whole teaching on this, but I'm going to show you a system that was developed by Jewish rabbis centuries ago. It was predominantly, you see it after the Babylonian captivity. And I call it God's mathematics in Scripture, and it's called Gematria. And it's very controversial. Most Western pastors are not familiar with it. They think it's a little weird. Most Western Christian churches don't even talk about it. They accuse you of being off the wall if you deal with it. But I'm going to show you how it's used by the early church fathers and how it was used in the Bible itself and the reason that it was used. So this is going to be this will be one of the most interesting teachings we've had all year long in Manifest. And it's going to come up the next week, okay? So you do not want to miss it. Now, please help us stay on the air. You know, I told the Lord years ago, if I can't pay for the airtime, I'll just pull the program off the air. And that's how I am. But we're doing okay right now, and God has helped us. But our airtime is coming due, so order the product and help us, or you can send a donation in to help us to keep Manifest on the air. We appreciate it. Watch this. I'll be right back.
See and hear 100% proof that ancient Bible prophecies are now being fulfilled as we are racing toward the return of Christ. In Perry Stone's new DVD series, 30 Prophecies Fulfilled Since 1967, he documents amazing prophecies, some penned in Scripture thousands of years ago, that have been fulfilled beginning in 1948 to today. All are now unfolding in the nation of Israel. Perry explains how Israel is God's last day prophetic time clock, pointing to the midnight hour of the Messiah's return. During more than 40 trips to Israel, Perry has been boots on the ground, capturing firsthand when, where, and how these 30 prophecies have been and are presently being fulfilled, from the Golan Heights in the north to ancient Judea and Samaria, then south to the Judean wilderness region, including the Dead Sea. He reveals prophecies about modern weapons and wars in Israel. He includes Israeli cities and events on ancient mountains, leading you through a journey linked with predictions about the walls and gates of Old Jerusalem. Perry includes new and undeniable evidence that he has never publicly shared before. On this 2-DVD set, 3-hour teaching, Perry includes photographic confirmation of prophetic activity throughout Israel, verifying these end-time prophecies are being fulfilled. He affirms his evidence using biblical word studies, historical proof, providing significant visual lists during his teaching. These 3 hours are a full prophetic documentary that proves the Bible is true. 1948 was the introduction of end-time events, and 1967 was the early beginning of the end. As Rabbi Gorin stated in 1967, we have entered the seasons of the Messiah. This DVD series is a must-watch for all prophecy lovers. This teaching is also a fabulous soul-winning resource to share with prophetic skeptics, unbelievers, unsaved, and lukewarm family members and friends. The 3-hour 2-DVD series is yours for a donation of $30 or more. In addition, Perry is adding a surprise bonus audio CD with your order. Order by calling toll-free 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or online at perrystone.org. A video on-demand option is also available on our website. To order by mail, send a check with offer number PF-145 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. No excerpts of this series will be aired on television or social media, and it is only available through Perry's ministry. We look forward to hearing from you today.
Hey, this is a great offer. You folks have asked me to do more teaching relating to prophecy in Israel, in the Middle East, and the return of the Lord. This is the big one. I've been sitting on this for a while. We taped it. It took us months to edit. The 30 prophecies fulfilled since 67, but we actually started in 48, coming to 67, 88, and the 90s. up to our present time. And there's one section in this that I've never taught publicly. It's never been on YouTube. It's never been on anything. There's one section that I cannot wait till you hear it. And I'm not even going to tell you what it is, because you'll know it when you get to it. I promise you that. So we have the two DVDs, 3 hours of teaching, plus the mystery bonus CD that we're going to include when you bring in your order. So go online, go to the 1-800 number, write us, and you can send that check into Voice of Evangelism Perrystone Ministries, and it goes back into the ministry as well with the offer number. Now, we want to mention this to you very quickly about, look behind me. This is a picture of one of our main events, one of our meetings that we're about to have in the fall months. This beautiful Omega Center International is going to be filled with thousands of men and women for the Awaken America Conference. There will be an advertisement at the end of this. You do not want to miss this. It might end up being epic and extremely prophetic with the speakers we've had that we've never had on one platform at one time. I call those the voices of prophecy for the United States, the now word for America and the church. And you'll see that advertisement coming up, but plan on being with us. We have Jesus People Proclaim International Church in Deerfield, Florida on the 4th and 5th of September. On the 8th of September, the Sheridan Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're looking forward to that. That's all day Sunday. And if you live in Oklahoma, we'd love to have you. We got some great friends out there, and we love coming out there when we have the opportunity. Main event, of course, October 1 through 5. Don't forget Pam's Fall Festival on Saturday afternoon with the Hoppers and the Honoring the Veterans and so many things like that. Free Chapel Revival is kicking in again October the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's Sunday through a Wednesday. And then New Beginnings Church, Cartersville, Georgia, November the 3rd. Going to be there all day, and we'd love to have all of you from the area join us. And sometimes I do realize that when I'm in a church on Sunday, that most churches have a good Sunday service, but there's a lot that don't have a Sunday evening service anymore. And if we're in your area, you come and be with us on a Sunday night. We have so many friends and partners. And speaking of partners, if you're not a partner of our ministry, we have a great partnership program. You can contact Voice of Evangelism, call our office, and ask for partnership information in a packet. We would love to have you be a partner of our ministry, and thank all of you that have helped us over the years and are continuing to help us to do the big vision that we have in the days ahead. God bless you. Greetings, everyone. This is Perry Stone, and we're about to have the greatest gathering in the history of the Voice of Evangelism Ministry in Cleveland, Tennessee at the Omega Center International. On October the 1st through the 5th, we have our Awaken America event. Every denomination, patriots, Christians, believers from all denominations, you're invited to join me with Mario Morello, Lance Walnow, Joseph Z., with myself as keynote speakers. Jensen Franklin is coming. There has never been an event held at the Omega Center International like this. October 1, Tuesday night, through Saturday, October the 5th, with Pam's Fall Festival in the evening on Saturday. Register now at perrystone.org.